Okay, so we have a sister Emily Xie from Irvine Church to testify first, and followed by Joshua. Joshua. Yeah. Yeah. What is his last name? N. N is Anna. Oh, Xing. Okay. Okay. So Joshua from Edmonton Church. Yeah. And Brother Daniel from Sacramento. So we first have Sister Emily. Emily come out to testify.
Before I begin, let's all bow our heads and pray in silence. Amen. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I bear testimony of how God has shown me his unending love. And before I begin, I would like to just, you know, give thanks to him that I'm able to bear testimony about what I'm about to talk about, because it's very traumatizing to me. So hopefully it will be edifying to you all. So if we go back a whole year, 2013, I had a very good year that year, and I excelled in my photography classes. I had a very good relationship with my spiritual friends, and I just was able to do a lot of church work and be very involved with church. So I thought I was, you know, doing fairly okay, you know, as, you know, a person and as a Christian. And so I came to 2013 CYSC last year thinking, oh, you know, this is going to be kind of more of a, I guess, motivation for me to continue moving on rather than a pick-me-up event. You know, I ended CYSC past December/January, very good or very well, and I continued on, you know, with my life. But shortly after, before I began school again, I was going to hang out with a few of my church friends and my sister. And so we were going to go eat dinner at a Korean barbecue restaurant, and of course I love to eat, so I wanted to go and attend. Actually, that night I had been doing a lot of work, and so I was running late, and I was told that a few of them had already arrived at the restaurant. And so for me, because I live farthest away from Irvine, and so I decided, of course, you know, I have to speed my way there. That's what I did. You know, I just drove, you know, like 70, 80 miles per hour on a local street, just so that I could get there and I didn't have them wait too long. I came to a stoplight, and I was going to turn left, and both of the lights were red, the left turn and straight. And so I was waiting there, and the car I was driving back then was an Audi A5. And for those of you who don't know what that car is, it's a coupe, and so it's two doors, and it's very small. But of course, for those who know cars, Audi is a very nice and luxurious and comfortable car. So you would think that it's very stable. And that's what I had thought back then. My expectations were actually ruined. Because shortly, when I was in the car, because I like to listen to music when I drive, I was looking at a display screen in my car, you know, trying to choose a song that I was going to change it to. And in my peripheral vision, I had saw that the straight light turned green. And sometimes the left turn also turns green, but not always when the street light turns green. And I had assumed at that time that my light had turned green when it actually hadn't. And so because I had thought it turned green, I just started going. And I actually did not look up from my display screen. I continued looking for the song that I wanted, and I was still making that left turn at the same time. And so what had happened is that, of course, the other side, the other direction, had also turned green. And so when I made that left turn, I was accelerating, you know. And then when that split second when I looked up, I had saw a car that I was going to crash into. And I knew that it was going to be too late, so I didn't bother stepping on the brakes because before, like while I was thinking that I was going to run into him, I had already done it. And so when I ran into the other driver, I had blacked out for, I think, around 5 seconds until I came back to my senses and regained my vision. And the first thing I smelled was gas. And the first thing I saw was that all my airbags surrounding me had popped out. And so when I smelled that gas leaking, I had initially thought of movies, those movies where explosions happen if the gas leaks. And so I was terrified by that. So I wanted to get out of my car as fast as I could. And so when I tried opening my door, it actually was jammed. And so all I could get open was, you know, a small slit in the door. But because I was so afraid that my car would explode, I just used all the strength I could to just squeeze out of that slit. And thankfully, I was able to do that. And so after that, when I was standing outside in the middle of an intersection, the first thing I did was look over at the car that I had ran into and see if the person in there was okay. And thankfully, he was already out of his car. He was standing. He looked like nothing happened to him. And I just went over and I could not stop apologizing because I felt like that was the only thing I could do. And of course, I think he was a little upset for my mistake, so he didn't really say anything. And so after I finished apologizing, I decided to take a look at my car. And I mentioned earlier how I thought that Audi's or that car would be very safe and very stable. But when I took a look at my car, I couldn't see the engine at all. The hood of the car had been completely smashed in. And I thought to myself, how is that possible for my car to look like this and to have pieces of it all over the road while his car just had a small dent in it, which I thought was pretty amazing. 'Cause his car was a Ford. I guess everyone get a Ford. So, yeah, I was shocked to see my car in that state and to see his car in that state. And the next thing I thought was, thank God that I did not hit him directly T-bone status. I had hit him in the front left wheel area, so where his hood was. And so he was okay for the most part. And then as I continued standing there, another man had come over, and I think it was one of the bystanders. He had walked over to me and said, oh, you know, let's go stand on the sidewalk. I'll call the police for you. And so he did, and because I was in a rush to get in my car, I had forgotten everything in my car, including my cell phone. And so I couldn't call anyone. And so when he was done calling the police, I went over to the man and asked him, you know, can I borrow your cell phone to call my parents? And so, you know, he did. He gave me his cell phone, and then I called home, but no one picked up. And it's okay, but I think at that time I felt just a little bit lonely because there's no one else I could call without my cell phone, because I rely so much on it that I don't really memorize people's numbers, including my sister's. And so I couldn't call her to tell her that I had gotten into the car crash at that time. And so I waited by myself, and just, you know, kind of seeing how the traffic got really bad because the police had to block everything off and there's like huge lines of cars. And then ambulances came and, you know, fire trucks. And eventually I asked one of the policemen if he could get my bag and my cell phone from the car. And so he did. And then I decided to call my sister, and thankfully, you know, she picked up. and I told her that I had gotten into a car crash. And so she told me that she'd be on her way. And so knowing where the restaurant was, I was like, okay, I'm going to be here alone again for another, like, 15 to 20 minutes. And so at that time, I thought to myself, like, oh, you know, these people, they were behind me, looking at me, you know, make this, you know, illegal left turn. So why didn't they, you know, attempt to warn me, to, like, honk at me, to get my attention to look up? Yeah, that was my initial thought. But then I further thought, like, it was my fault in the first place. I shouldn't have been looking at the display screen anyway while I was, you know, making that left turn. Because if I had been looking up, then I would have realized myself that I had been driving through a red light. And so, like, I came to my senses again, like, oh, it's my fault, so I will deal with it. And then eventually my sister came, but also there were, I didn't expect some of the other church friends to come either. They all came in one car, and at first I felt embarrassed because I thought, like, oh my goodness, they know that I got into this car crash, and they might be thinking I'm a loser or something like that. But I just kind of shrugged it off because I knew that wasn't what I should be thinking about. And so all I could do was stand there and cry. And I was shaking, and previously when one of the police officers came over to me, he asked if I wanted to go to the hospital, but I refused because I'm actually terrified of hospitals, and so I just decided to cope with it myself. And so when I was standing there, my sister who had come, she came over to me and she hugged me, which is very rare for her to do. And at that moment, I really felt like people cared, and that, you know, she really cared, and that I wasn't alone anymore. And so I felt a little bit more comforted. After that, of course, like, we went to go to the restaurant, and then that ended that day. But so what I wanted to, I guess, reflect upon was three things. And I think before I go into those, I think I had all this time to ponder about why this event had happened to me, and it was, I think it was because how I lived my life prior to 2013, because in high school I went through depression, and so I had a lot of suicidal thoughts, and to the point where I attempted to take my life in front of one of my other sisters. And of course, you know, she, you know, prevented me from doing that, and I'm able to be here today. But even though I was able to get out of this depression, I think I still lived my life how I wanted. Even though I, you know, did church work, or I, you know, went to church every week, I still had a mindset of my own, and I didn't really value my life. And so I thought about, you know, maybe this is the reason why God had put me in this terrifying situation, to teach me that, you know, He gives life, and that we shouldn't be taking it so carelessly and thinking of it so so carelessly or so lowly. And so the three things that I wanted to just reflect upon was, the first is just how much He loves us, because we have come to this seminar studying about 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and about God's love, basically. And I think a lot of times the pastors mentioned, you know, John 3:5. And it, you know, I don't think we really tend to ponder about what it really actually means to us. And so we take our lives for granted because we are given this life. And so that was the first thing that I had been thinking about, is God's love for me, and that He gave me the opportunity to have, or He gave me another chance to live, even though He completely totaled my car and traumatized me for the rest of my life in driving. But those are just small things when it comes to life. And so, yeah, that was something that I was reminded of when I was pondering about, yeah, my situation. The second thing I was reminded of was the love of a family and friends. So after my accident, the following week, I had not gone out of my room for a week, and at that time I had, that week I started classes, but because I was so traumatized to go outside, I stayed in my room not doing anything. I just sat in my bed and I cried every single day. And at that time, my parents, of course, they were upset that I had done a stupid mistake and that I had cost them a lot of money having to buy a new car, which was only 3 months after I got that car. And then they also had to pay for insurance and things like that. But they didn't show any sign of anger. They bought a lot of like remedies for me so that my back would feel okay and that my muscles wouldn't be in pain. And they didn't bother asking like any details about it because they knew that it was so traumatizing for me. And if they brought it up, then it would, you know, I would just break down again. And so I think that kind of love, even though it's very small, it's something that's very cherishing because I think a lot of times we don't seem to understand the love our parents have for us. But whatever they do and whatever they say, it definitely is for us. And we have to remember that. For friends, during that week that I was bottled up in my room, one of my close friends had offered to come visit me. She was actually the only one to ask, sadly. She still asked. And I refused her offer because I didn't want her to see me like this in this state, and I didn't want her to. I just kind of wanted to be alone, and so I refused her offer to come over. But I think she, you know, realized, you know, that it was, you know, that I wanted to be alone and that I needed some time to myself to just kind of get back to reality and to get, you know, to be calm again. And I really can see that she cared for me because usually most Irvine members, they don't want to come to my house because it's out of the way for everyone. It's not even in the city of Irvine. And it's far away, but because like she was a very close friend, you know, the fact that she asked, I think, touched me a lot, and she definitely, you know, kept up with me in the following days to see how I was, and also the support from the other church friends that had unexpectedly appeared with my sister during the accident. You're in the audience, so you know who you are. I do appreciate and thank you for being that moral support, even though you were just standing there. But even that is very, very encouraging and calming to me. Yeah, so the final other thing that I wanted to talk about was being alert. Which happens to be actually very interesting because we were just talking about that in First Thessalonians. But anyway, being alert, not only spiritually, but also in our daily lives. Because I was not alert, this event happened. Because I was also very proud of myself, I felt I didn't need to be so aware of my surroundings. I used to think that I drove really, really well, and that I also had the habit of texting while driving, and that because I got so far that I could continue to do it, but obviously not. God, you know, he really taught me a lesson of how valuable life is and not to put yourself at that risk. And to also be alert spiritually because I was, you know, doing whatever I wanted. I was chastened by God in this manner. With these three things. I definitely understand how important it is to cherish God's love and to really understand what he meant when he said in John chapter 3, verse 5, if we can all turn to that verse, actually. I don't want to just say it, but I think actually reading it helps. John chapter 3, verse 5, it says, John chapter 3, verse 5. It says, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so the reason why I think this verse is important is because you really have to think of your lives here and also your lives in that kingdom of God in heaven. I think most of the time, at least for me, I don't really tend to want to think about, you know, the eternal life that we have in heaven later on, but to rather just, you know, go on about my daily life with its pleasures and, you know, all the fun things I could do. And so I think it's just important for us to really be aware of God's love and that, you know, even certain trials that may traumatize us, it's so that we can actually learn from it and to be transformed from it. So with that, this concludes my testimony. May all the glory and honor be unto his holy name. Amen.
So first, let us all bow our heads and pray hands. Amen. So this is a testimony that was very impromptu written, and I only had time to modify at lunch, so please forgive me if I stutter, and please try to follow along. In fact, this is something that I also often mention in passing during sharing, so some of you may have heard it before, especially the Canadians. You can see my C. So since I was young, God has made his presence very clear to me in my life. I may not always behave that way, but he was always there, and I was not always aware of it. One good example of this is my experience receiving the Holy Spirit. So I was very young. I believe they tell me I was about 6, 7, or 8 or something like that. And I actually can't remember the experience. But there are two other brothers and sisters, those who you're aware of, Gladys and Henry, who also received the Holy Spirit when they were very young. And of course, there are many people praying for us. And at that time, we were, I don't think we were even praying for the Spirit. We were praying for Henry's father, who was at that time in a coma. I always had trouble understanding why I was given the Holy Spirit so young, because I never really understood it, never knew what it was, even when I knelt down to pray. Truly through the intercession of others, I was able to receive it. For this story to make sense, one must understand that Henry, Gladys, and I, we were in very different schools and very different environments. We were always very separated. Even to this day, there are a lot of trials that we face individually. And the Holy Spirit is very necessary in carrying us through our personal trials. This specific testimony deals with how I came to know God. In elementary, I really struggled to live through the experience of bullying. Looking back, it was an experience of isolation, confusion, and a lot of distress. And it was something I had to face daily for years and years, as I took the bus to and from school every day. Every day, the bus would come very early. I would have to get up at 6 something, and the trip would take about an hour or more. And sometimes it wouldn't even come, depending on whether the bus had broken down in minus 30. And it kind of left a small child and his grandmother outside waiting for 30-plus minutes, so outside, and that really sucked. But of course, the worst part wasn't waiting outside in the cold. It was actually the waiting inside in the bus. So most of the kids on the school bus went to another school, and that's why my trip took so long, because there was a detour. As such, I was the odd one out. So without going into too much detail, there were a lot of frequent physical fights and shocking verbal exchanges between young children in an enclosed space. And it was something I couldn't escape. And the adult responsible for maintaining order wasn't very, well, I guess maybe it's winter driving and stuff, but wasn't very aware and of the situation. Or even if she was aware or he was aware, she didn't exercise a lot of this control and order. So this is something that just got worse and worse. Day to day, I would always get worn down just a little bit more, right? And it got to the point that I think I was depressed because I had no joy. And keep in mind, this is a child. Without joy, I found it very difficult to live. I remember coming home and then just wanting to close the door, lie in the bed, and just cry. And then you didn't want to eat. You didn't want to drink. There was taste, but there's no taste of food, of anything. And there's no taste of life. It actually got to the point where I became kind of suicidal. And it's very serious because I guess no one really... it's very hard to understand children when they have a very serious disorder or a very serious problem. And because how many kids want to kill themselves at 8, right, or 10? So this kind of feeling went on for many months, 8 months plus. It was constantly distressing me. It got to the point where my mind was actually twisted. And it was almost like I had another voice in my head, and it would do the thinking for me. And there would be many very cruel and unholy things, and things that I just wouldn't expect myself to think at that age. And this struggle eventually led me to ponder about the despair of life and its vanity. But thankfully, in RE, I was taught to pray and read the Bible, right, as we all are as children. And so through prayer, eventually, every day I would come home, kneel down, and just cry out before God. And sometimes I would read the Bible, and the words would just inspire me as well, even though I didn't really understand them. One good example of that is Ecclesiastes. I read that one day as a child, and it talks about the vanity of life and that the final thing you should always remember is your Creator. And that got me to thinking about the purpose of life and how we should live and why we should live. And then in every prayer, I could I could feel God's presence. And so that was very encouraging to me all the time. And as a result, I step by step drew closer to God, and I came to know that He was the very center and the very purpose of our lives. Even to this day, that I'm living because of God, and He is my bread and water for my spirit. I guess this is also very important in my understanding of life and how I face life. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. So in Proverbs 16, verse 9, it says, "In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord directs his steps." So that time I really didn't understand why God was making me suffer. But in fact, of course, we don't understand what is before us, and we often lean on our own understanding. So I guess through verses like these, I was able to understand that God would give us wisdom. Sorry, are we over time? Did the bell ring? Oh, sorry. It's because of verses like these that I'm able to understand how to live out my life today, even if there's something very hard or even if there's oppression from some other people, in college and university. Sometimes it's just we're being put through something that we don't understand, and then step by step, God will guide us so that we'll become closer to Him. But it must be through a kind of significant amount of spiritual cultivation every day. And I guess there's one more verse I want us to turn to, just to encourage us if we ever face something like this. Can we turn to Psalm 118, verse 5 to 9? So in these verses it says, "In my anguish I cried to the Lord, and he answered by setting me free. The Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me, he is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes." Actually flipped the wrong page. Okay. So I guess at the core of all this, I realized that I received the Holy Spirit young because I need the Holy Spirit to guide me, do this, and draw me closer to God. And even to this day, I'm very thankful to God. And even though I'm very far removed from this experience now, I'll always remember this. So one thing I guess I had to keep in mind and remember now is that it's very important to be to have this individual cultivation and strength, but it's always better to come together with your brothers and sisters to be able to overcome these things. Because actually, later on in life, I depended on myself a lot, and that actually became a failure in my life. So, praise and thank God. That was my testimony. Yeah, that's all I had to say. So may God continue to guide us all through his Holy Spirit and give us wisdom. Amen.
Thank God we have heard these two testimonies. I think we do not have time for Daniel. So we reserve it for tomorrow, maybe. Okay? We heard how God protect his children. You can see how Sister Emily, she was protected and was also chastened by the Lord because this is something God want to his beloved child to return, and this is called God's love. And so in her testimony we can see we always have to be alert. That's why Jesus said watch and pray, right? In this moment, even one year passed when she recalled this kind of very unpleasant, very terrified situation. You can see this is the trauma is so severe, right? So to us, we are living in this God's grace. You know, every time when we go to hospital to visit our brothers and sisters, we will recognize how blessed we are. We can have a healthy, we have health, and we can really live normally. It's God's grace. And sometimes we don't treasure it, or even we don't pay attention to our brother, sister, or our family, provide love and comfort to us. When we are in need in this moment, we know how important our family is, right? So we do learn from her testimony. I think she mentioned three things. It's very important, right? The God's love, God safe. So God, he just wanted to let us experience. We have to be careful. Sometimes if we do this kind of the awakeness, and we may run into trouble. Okay. And also the love of the family and the friend. And at the same time, the third one, she was listening to the music, don't pay attention to what was going on. In reality, it just run into the trouble. So you can see how God provide help. Just like I think in Psalm 91, there's a verse. Psalm 91, verse 9. Because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, my habitation. In verse 11, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. 12, they shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Yeah, just a car accident. It could be very severe, but God protect. So just smash your car. It's okay. Wow. Our life has been preserved. So you can see sometimes even a fancy car doesn't guarantee. You can compare Audi and the Ford. So Ford is not bad at all. I try a Ford, a very old Ford car. It's good. I saw God's protection, actually. All right, so I think this is a good testimony for everyone to learn the lesson. Let's do our part. When we try, we pay attention. You have to be really be aware of what we are doing. Don't just ignore the reality. Okay? And from Joshua's testimony, we can see how Holy Spirit come in to help even a young child. God knows his need, so grant him the Holy Spirit to guide, to walk through this so dark journey during the in the elementary level. So, how important is our brothers and sisters to encourage one another? Special. It's a very typical, right? Encouragement, reading Bible, and pray every day. It just give us light. So enlighten everyone's life. So I think the Holy Spirit did provide comfort. And also, we can see even a young child can just fall into a depression. And just so cannot experience this the life. At that age, it's supposed to be very joyful, right? And you feel this. You don't have to worry about things, but in reality, environment may just give us so different difficulty. But then God guide us through. Okay, so let's don't forget, don't ignore even a small child. You know, some may just need our help and comfort. We do to support each other. So as a big family, we care and we pray for them. Okay? So these two testimonies, it's quite edifying to everyone. May God bless and continue to guide our way. And in this 2015, we can also experience God's love, God's guidance, and His comfort in no matter in what circumstance we may have in the future.